Are you guys awake and alive? Do you guys have coffee? I feel a little sorry for my friends over in that corner, so a little shout out to that side of the room. Hi. This is the fun crowd over here, just so you know. Extroverts, and let's just have some time over here. Hey, if you're watching online, good morning. If you're watching from, well, if you're my mom, I love you, I miss you. Wherever you are, good morning. Oh, well, good evening, Mom. I drove back from Vicedo today. I'm currently leading a retreat, and I retreated the retreat to come over here. I feel like I'm just going to preach over here, Josh, so sorry, man. And we have our leadership training school. Our young adults are out there. There's 14 of us in total because Finley and Elliot have joined, and we're in a cabin out in Vicedo soaking up time with Jesus. And I was on one of those, I heard that you call them paddle boats, but the pedal boats, do you know what I mean? Those things that you're on, and they're fun if you're in an argument with someone because you just spin around in circles. So me and my five-year-old Finley just did that yesterday for a long time, and then we tried to push John in, and it was funny. Hey, so we are going to a new collection of talks about Ephesians. Who brought their Bible to church? Come on, raise them up high. I love it that when people bring Bibles to church. Who's got a big Bible? There's a Bible upstairs in like the old prayer room, and it just feels like you have authority when you like hold it. But I was scared that I was going to pick it up and the pages were going to fall out. And it was such old English that I couldn't read it. But we are going to go in the book of Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible on you, get the Bible app on your phone. Or we actually have some Bibles right down there in the corner if you'd like a Bible. But from now till the beginning of December, we are going to go through the book of Ephesians almost half a chapter a week. I'm really, like, I don't think I can say this enough. I'm really, really, really excited for this book. I've been here in 2 weeks, it'll be 5 years. And I think shortly after that, me, Nick, and Mark, and Jill, like, meet about, like, who's preaching when. And this book of Ephesians has kind of been on the back burner of we wanted to do it sometime. And when the four of us met recently and talked about some of the topics we wanted to talk about, the book of Ephesians just encompassed all of these topics. I actually just know for some of you being in the wild, this book, if I'm right, has been spoken over this house. Is that right? I'm just trying to look for a long time. And so this book is not only good for you as an individual and your family, but for the house, it's a really important book. Today, I'm not really preaching. We're just doing Bible study. Are you guys ready for that? We're just like old school Bible study. And so we're going to do a little history lesson and we're going to start on the book of Ephesians. I kind of want to sum up the book of Ephesians in two things. In my book, where it says like Ephesians, I've written underneath Ephesians, you're welcome to do this, only if it's a revelation to you at the end of the day. But I wrote Ephesians, ground zero for your identity in Christ. Because for me, when I'm struggling with who I am, I go to this book and it tells me who I am. And what better place to go when God himself can tell you who you are. So if you're struggling with who you are and how you fit in the world, Ephesians is ground zero for identity. I don't think we have it, but Pastor Mark made a graphic for this series, and we talked about what I was preaching on this week, and he entitled the next 12 weeks, Therefore. And I just want you to know that we're calling the next coming 12 weeks, Therefore, and you'll see why, I'm trying to think of clever words to use, why we're calling it Therefore in a second. But how do we start in the book of Ephesians? Well, we start in the book of Acts. So if you guys want to put a finger, we're going to go Acts 19 and 20, and then we're also going into the book of Ephesians. Today, I'm actually just going to give you the overview of the whole book, and then each week we will kind of divide it up how we're going to go, and you'll kind of see how we're going to divide it up. If you're not excited, by the end of today, my aim on stage is to get you excited to read this book. It takes 15 minutes and 20 seconds to read. I'm trying to memorize it. I've failed multiple times. I've read it, I think, 16 times in the last week because I'm just trying to get it in my system. And the only way you can get things in your system and get ready for it is do it time and time and time again. As you can tell by my physique, I don't go to the gym. I thought that was going to be funny. But I have gone to the gym before, but if you go to the gym once, it doesn't really do anything for you, right? Just to let you know, when I go to the gym, I go for an hour and a half, and this is my routine. I run for 30 minutes, I work out for 30 minutes, and then my favorite part, I sit in the hot tub for 30 minutes. And I think that's working out. Nope, it just makes you sleepy and it makes you ready for the day. And I try and do it early in the morning. But if you work out once throughout the year, it's going to do nothing. But if you do it time and time and time again, you actually see it making a difference. And I believe the same thing in reading. But let's go to Acts 19. So in the book of Acts 19, in the chapter of Acts 19 and 20, you can start reading it as I'm talking if you want, but this is Paul's third missionary journey. And the reason we're going into this is because it gives a backbone of the writer Paul, who wrote Ephesians as a letter, kind of why and the context of why he wrote to the people in Ephesus. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase both chapters. So in the beginning of 19, Paul ends up in Ephesus, and he asks some of the local believers, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they say, no, but we have been baptized by John. John the Baptist, we know, Jesus' cousin, who must have made his way throughout that time. And he says, well, can I pray for you and baptize you in the Holy Spirit? He does. They instantly start speaking in other languages. They start prophesying. And ironically, there's 12 believers, I think that's kind of fun, that kind of are in this chunk. For the next 2 or 3 months, and you kind of find this, I think it's 3 months, in verse 8 of chapter 19, he spends 3 months going into the synagogue and trying to persuade and teach the people in Ephesus about Jesus. Because obviously we know that Paul had a crazy conversion from persecuting and killing Christians to being one of the leaders of the early church. Now, if you read it, you'll see this phrase, the way, happen quite a lot. That was actually what the group of early disciples and followers called themselves. It's kind of like we call them from The Mandalorian. This is the way. I don't think they said that every time they met. I hope they did. And they definitely didn't have a baby Yoda. But it's kind of like us calling ourselves the River Church or the youth group calling it Roots. They just called themselves the way. And so when you see, like, this was a hard moment for the followers of the way, that's what they're talking about. It's kind of just their, like, nickname that they had. Anyway, so in verse 8, you'll see that for 3 months, he is teaching and trying to persuade people in the synagogue, and it doesn't go the way he wants, so he actually removes the some of the followers of Christ and that at that moment and takes them to a lecture hall. And for the next 2, most likely 3 years, Paul is there teaching. In his missionary journey, he travels a lot, but this is one of the ones where he's definitely somewhere for a long time. If you read chapter 19, it talks about God gave Paul crazy abilities to do miracles, even the point where he would touch robes or handkerchiefs and people would be healed. Like, this was moments where it was going on. And there's a real verse a funny verse that I want to share with you in verse 32. I just read it again this morning and I was like, man, when people say the Bible, you know, we can't relate to it, I feel like verse 32 sums where we're up right now. It said, inside, and this was inside, I think, one of the temples, inside, the people were all, no, it wasn't. It was inside. There was like a big gathering. Inside, the people were all shouting some one thing, and the other people were shouting another thing. Everything was in confusion. In fact, most people didn't even know why they were there or shouting. Doesn't that sound like the world we live in right now? Just people making noise and being like, let's just cause chaos. And actually, a riot takes place in this moment. Now, Paul, after this time, he actually leaves Ephesus. And he goes to Macedonia, the beautiful place, it's just north of Greece. And he actually comes back later on in verse 20. He comes back and he sails past Ephesus. And I think if I get it right, he was advised not to go, but he sends word to the elders to meet him somewhere. And he encourages them. And later on, he sails off. Now, this is all before the book of Ephesians was written. But the reason I want to tell you this is Paul spent 3 years of his journey of preaching about Christ in Ephesus. He would have known people. He would have known the leaders. He would have known the food they eat, the smell of their streets, what people look like. He knew them very well. Okay. Now, when he wrote this, he would have been in prison in Rome, and he would have been writing it to encourage them. Okay. This is one of the few letters of the Bible that is not writing to the people to correct a behavior or to give them a certain challenge. This is quite a broad encouragement of a book, okay? Later on, after the book of Ephesians was written and sent to them and they received it, John, the disciple, who had kind of been already boiled nearly to death, when an exile wrote the book of Revelation, and this bit I think is fascinating, then actually moved to Ephesus and became one of the bishops of Ephesus. This has probably been one of the seven major cities in the area. Has anyone ever been to the Mediterranean? Okay, we need to like take a trip there. We're all gonna go. I've sailed around, everyone's like, we're in. We'll go study the book of Ephesians for a month in the Greek islands. I've sailed around the Greek islands and towards Turkey, and modern day Ephesus is actually on the western side of Turkey. If any of you came to that trip we did in Greece, when we went and did some of the work with refugees in the island of Lesbos. Lesbos is really close. You wouldn't be able to see Ephesus, but it's really close to western Turkey, which is. Why was Ephesus so important? Ephesus would have been one of the main trade areas because it was actually in Minor Asia. It was kind of the gateway from Europe into Asia. It kind of still is in Turkey. Ephesus is not a big city, but the area of where Ephesus is now is kind of a gateway into Asia. Do you guys know where I'm talking about? I should have brought a map and like a laser pointer or something. That would have been awesome. But that's where it is. We believe that this was... where are my notes? This was probably written in the, I want to say in the 80s, but like the OG 80s, in like 81 AD. Am I allowed to say OG 80s? No, 1980 was the only 80s. I was born in the 80s, believe it or not, and that's why I wear all black with white socks. Someone told me today, I think it was Jill, told me that I look like, it's a 50s vibe, right, Jill?